Hollywood Dance Career Show, episode number 3.
Welcome to the Hollywood Dance Career Show.
The only podcast in the world helping you to take your dancing career to the next level.
Industry news, tips, ideas, and advice.
The Hollywood Dance Career Show.
Where the business of dance meets Hollywood.
And here's your host, Courtney Miller.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Courtney Miller, and you're listening to another episode of The Hollywood Dance Career Show, the podcast teaching you everything you need to know about the Hollywood dance industry. I'm your host, Courtney Miller, and I'm going to be with you for the next 30 or so minutes. I'm really excited about today because today we have a very special guest, and that guest is Brian Friedman. A lot of you guys know Brian from his work as a choreographer and as a director on various projects. I've actually known Brian for many years, back when we used to dance together on different projects and what have you. And I'm really excited to interview him because I've really watched his career blossom over the years. And the interview that we just finished is going to be power-packed with a lot of great information, things that you can do as dancers and as choreographers right now to improve your careers and to hopefully get the same amount or more success as what Brian has had. So without further ado, let's get into the interview with myself and Brian Friedman. My guest today has been called an entrepreneur, a visionary, a trendsetter, whose work includes directing, choreography, producing, and fashion. He's worked with the likes of Britney Spears, Janet Jackson, and Celine Dion, and he is the creative director of The X Factor. I'm stoked to have as my guest today, Brian Friedman. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing really good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks a lot for taking some time out and, you know, coming on to the Hollywood Dance Career Show. I know you're really busy.
Thank you for having me.
Actually, you have your hands in a lot of different cookie jars these days so that the audience can kind of get a flavor for what you're up to. What exactly are you doing at this point right now?
A couple of different things. I mean, I like to be busy at all times. I feel like if there's ever downtime that I'm missing out on something. So I try to always be generating some sort of project or revenue coming in. But right now what I'm working on, I just finished, we're shooting a little sizzle reel because we are shopping a TV show for one of the events that I am creative director of. It's called The Pulse on Tour. It is a touring dance workshop with, I would say, celebrity choreographers, but it's kind of choreographers that you don't really get in the normal classroom setting. They're people who are actually out there in the industry working, and we make it accessible for the kids to take from them. So they're actually learning what they will need to learn to become a professional dancer. So we're shopping around a TV show so that we can show the world what it is that we do with these kids. That's one thing, and I'm also constantly working on my clothing line, which was launched this year. It's called BSBF, which is Brian Says Be Free, and just doing new products with them. I just teamed up with Discount Dance Supply. They're now going to be carrying the full line, and I'm going to be doing a line specifically for them of dancewear, which is going to be Brian Friedman Dancewear, and we're going to have dance shoes and your average dancewear with my stylish twist on it.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So those are kind of the main things that I'm working on. And this is my downtime from the TV work that I normally do. So I'm able to focus a little bit more on these fun, I call them side projects, but really these are the projects that are hopefully going to be around for years and years to come.
Exactly. You're trying to make that passive income. So basically you're as you're sleeping, you're making money, you're making revenue.
That would be the goal because daddy needs a new house.
I hear you. Well, you know, you have an amazing story. Let's actually go back to the very beginning. Where exactly are you from?
Born in Chicago, grew up in Scottsdale, Arizona, and came out to LA to start trying to dance professionally in 1990.
Wow. Okay. And how exactly did you get into dancing? Was it your mother? Was it just something you did naturally?
Yeah, my mom was a dancer, and she never forced me to dance or take class. It was something that I kind of found on my own, but luckily it was standing right in front of me. Mm-hmm. I would go and I would watch her teach her classes at the college she was teaching at in Scottsdale. And you know, I would learn stuff at home. We had tile floors, so she would teach me, you know, basic tap stuff. I would Shanae and PK down our hallway. Whenever I would go to the grocery store, I would dance down the aisles. And it was when she was judging a dance competition in Arizona, a local competition, that I went and watched and saw some kids dancing that were my age, and immediately was just drawn to it, captivated, and wanted to go and take class where it was that they danced. And
wow.
So luckily, when I walked into my first class, I did have a little bit of knowledge about what I was doing, and I loved it. It was something that stuck, and from that day on, I never had free time again.
Wow. Now, at, you know, starting so young, did you compete?
The studio that I went to was a competitive studio. Now, it wasn't your normal competitive studio where they're going to, you know, thousands of competitions a year, winning all the awards. It was definitely, I want to say, a low-budget studio. didn't have the best technique, didn't have the best ballet teachers, but there was just something about the energy of the kids, and it was local, and it was very hometown feel that I loved about it. And it was where I made my friends, because I didn't fit in school at all. So it wasn't until I found my dance friends that I really found, you know, what it is that I loved and felt accepted. But I competed. I definitely competed. And it was probably a year into my dancing that I first came out to L.A. And one of the girls I danced with won a scholarship to take it Dupre Studio out in L.A. And I went out for the summer with her to take. And an agent was watching class. And she gave me her card. And I got signed. And I immediately started coming out for auditions. So it all happened really quickly. And my career sort of took off in L.A. But I still stayed in contact with my home studio and still competed. I would fly back and forth. I would be in a competition in Arizona, and then I would be on a gig in L.A.
Wow.
So this is back in an era where that wasn't really heard of. You know, now that's what kids do.
Yep.
So it was definitely uncharted territory. My mom was so great for making it possible. You know, my family supported me completely in the beginning, and that's not a normal thing for your parent, your mother, to quit her job and move to LA and get an apartment with you. There was no manual that told us how to do it. It was definitely a very scary thing, but we made it happen. And, you know, I would definitely not be where I am in my career had I not had that huge jump start, you know, way ahead of time.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. And I mean, a lot of guy dancers, they don't usually have that kind of support from home.
No.
So it was a blessing that you did have that.
Oh yeah. You know, my mom was, when she was young, she was asked to be in Gus Giordano's company. And I believe she was 16 at the time.
Wow.
And her parents said, absolutely not. You need to stay and finish school.
Exactly.
And, you know, that led to her going to college, and that led to her meeting my dad, and that led to getting married and having kids. So, you know, she didn't have the opportunity to pursue her career the way that I did. So I think when it came for me, it was not even a question.
Yeah. You know, you said you got your first agent. Who was your very first dance agent?
Victoria Morris and Julie McDonald at JHR.
JHR. Wow.
And that's when they were located on Hollywood and Highland before there was a Kodak Theater. there was a big high rise there, and, you know, that's where I would go and I would meet with my agent, and it was a very small community back then. There was only JHR and Bobby Ball. Those were the two agents, and they only repped about 50 kids each. So if you were a kid working in LA, everyone knew each other. There were about 100 of us. Period.
Yeah.
Would show up at auditions, and it was definitely a different energy and feel than it is now.
Yeah. And when you came out here and you were taking the dance classes, who are some of the teachers that you took from that had a really big impact on your dance style?
I think at that age, when I was first here, a teacher who is no longer with us, he passed away. His name was George Alexander. I loved his classes. And Alex Magno was brand new to LA. And I'm probably one of the only 12-year-olds that was in his class. Carrie Ananaba was assisting him back then. I would take his class religiously. Michael Rooney, Jackie Slight, Randy Allaire, Bill Prudich. Those are the teachers who I really, and Marguerite Derricks.
Oh, yeah.
That I really learned everything from that first year of training in LA. And then after that, you know, once I was working, it was people like Lester Clark, Russell Clark. Lester Wilson,
yep.
Kenny Ortega, Vince Patterson, Twyla Tharp.
Wow.
That was like my first year of working.
Amazing. And I mean, those are huge, huge people. A lot of dancers these days don't know who these people are, but my God, they have to do their research and learn about these people.
Yeah. And it was, to me, I didn't even know at the time who it was. You know, I would find out that's who I was auditioning for, and then I would book the job, and then I would try and, you know, hear about what it was that they did. But back in that day, you had to have a friend that recorded something on VHS.
That's right.
You know, I would talk to, you know, Chris Dupre or Carla Garrido back then.
Oh, yeah.
And they both had arsenals of VHS tapes and would show me stuff. And it was a different time. You couldn't research like you can now on the internet. But definitely I was lucky to have been on the cusp of a generation change.
Yes.
And be able to learn from that generation, because it was a different world and a totally different way of teaching and thinking, and I'm so thankful that is where I got my training.
Totally. Let's talk about the dance industry back then, comparing it to these days. What was the industry like then when you were kind of starting out? What was like the biggest differences compared to these days?
I just think that there was a level of professionalism that doesn't quite exist now. You know, with YouTube generation, it's a huge benefit to them that they can do research. You know, there's the pros and the cons.
Yes.
But the fact that they can become a huge star without ever really working at it, I believe that it creates monsters. who then go to an audition and feel like they are owed a job without ever having to work for it, when they don't even know how to be professional on set.
Yes.
You know, there's a lack of professionalism for sure. That's one huge difference. When I was growing up, auditions, you would walk in and it was a fight for the job.
Oh, yeah.
And there were much fewer jobs and fewer people to choose from. So I just feel like it's very spread out now. A lot of the anticipation is gone. You know, you had a handful of artists that were hiring. You had a handful of specials that were going to be on that year.
That's right.
And everyone was fighting for those specific jobs. Now there's thousands of jobs. You know, people are shooting their webisodes and people are shooting, you know, just content videos, concept videos. So there's always something for someone to do.
Right.
And, you know, back in my era, a teacher was definitely someone who could instruct you with knowledge. And now a teacher is someone who can make up an 8 count and get paid for it because they're a YouTube star. So I believe, you know, when people were training who had knowledge to train, dancers were going to be better. So I believe that there's something missing there. And I liked a lot more when you had 20 choreographers that you could look up to.
Right.
Rather than 2000. So I just think we're a little oversaturated, but you know what, for all of the people who couldn't be found before and who didn't have the option, this is their time. And I think in the end, you know, the true artists, the people who have the foundation, they're the ones that are going to last.
Agreed. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm not really curious, because I'm really curious to find out, what would Brian Friedman today, how would he go about navigating through the business if you were just starting out today? So, you know, now you have technology, you have YouTube now, where you didn't have that in the past. If you were just starting out today, you literally came from Arizona, got here today, how would you start off your career and get yourself going with the knowledge that you have now about the business?
I definitely would use the tools that are available. I would be making concept videos. I would be doing everything possible to network, but above and beyond everything else, I still would have treated it or would treat it exactly how I treated it when I came out here when I was 12.
Okay.
I showed up at auditions. I learned the choreography exactly how it was taught to me. I danced full out at all times. I made sure I knew everyone's name in the room. I made sure that I networked nonstop. And I made sure that I book every gig. Like, there was a set of things that I would do. And I still believe that those fundamentals are what will keep you employed and keep you employable. And regardless of the generations or YouTube or how many people are there, I still think talent stands out in a room. And it's undeniable.
Yeah, totally, totally. Now, what was your first dance job?
My first dance job, my first audition was for Newsies.
Okay.
And I booked that job, but it didn't start working for a couple of months. And in that downtime before it started, I did a video. So technically my first job on set was a music video, for Redhead Kingpin.
Oh my
God. FBI.
What?
And the song was called Get It Together. And this was right after he had his first single out, which was called 3-2-1 Pump.
Wow.
And it was choreographed by, oh God, who choreographed it? He used to teach at Tremaine. He taught hip hop at Tremaine. And he had an assistant that's name was Rocky.
You know what? I'm sure somebody will know
Kevin
who it
Columbus.
Is. Oh, Casey. Okay. Come.
It was choreographed by Kevin Columbus and Marguerite Derricks.
Wow.
And yeah, I was a little white kid and we shot in Compton.
And that's so funny.
We rehearsed at a studio, Regina's, which was where all of the little hip hop dancers went. And I was like the one oddball out. but it was just, that was the first time I was on set. I loved it. The energy of it was just so much fun. It was one of those moments where, you know, I couldn't believe I was getting paid to dance around what I was doing at home. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was getting paid to do it here. So it definitely put the bug in me. And then Newsies came next and that job worked for 6 to 7 months.
Ooh.
And, you know, being on set that long on a project and getting to know people and to work underneath Kenny Ortega and Peggy Holmes and Bill Holden was like just crazy at that age to soak in so much of the production side and to understand that that was really like the training wheels.
Totally. Now was choreography something that you always wanted to do? Did you always want to choreograph?
I don't think at that age it was anything that was actually, that's a lie. I did some search like a year after that and they ask you what you wanted to be.
Yeah.
And my answer was I wanted to be a choreographer and I was 14 when I said that. So guess I did know, but I wasn't pursuing it the way kids are pursuing it now. It was when I was, I think 16, and I was dancing, at high school cause I moved back home and went to high school for 1 year of normal high school. Wow. That was when it sort of bit me and, I had more time on my hands and I think I had taken, you know, a lot of what I had learned in LA and was taking it home with me.
Yeah.
And, I started choreographing at school and I was setting pieces, on my high school dance team, I guess you could call it my high school dance class. And then because of that, I asked my dance teacher at my studio, the same studio I grew up at, you know, can I put a piece on them for competition on the group that I was dancing with? And she said, yes. So I started choreographing competition routines at my studio. And that sort of was the bug that bit me. I didn't want to do it professionally in LA, though. I didn't consider myself a choreographer on that level.
Okay.
But I got an opportunity to do something in LA when I was 21, and it just sort of opened up the door. And when I had a little bit of recognition, it was Julie McDonald at the time that told me, you know, you should really be doing this. You should transition. I was like, okay, let's try it.
Yeah.
And I never looked back. I had to make the decision of where my focus was going to be, whether it was going to be choreography or dance, because I, you know, was I going to turn down choreography jobs because I was doing dance jobs or vice versa? And I made the decision to do choreography and let my dance career sort of go.
So for that transition into choreography, you said Julie had a huge hand in pushing you that way?
Oh yeah, definitely. I had been assisting for so long at that point. You know, I started assisting Marguerite when I was like 16.
Oh wow.
Or 17. And then I, by the time I was like 19, 20, I was assisting Robin Anton and Carla and Melissa. I was working in it. I was assisting Jamie for years. So after doing that, I knew that I could do it, but Julie said, I took over a job. Wade Robson couldn't be on a project, and he asked me if I would oversee it and choreograph some of it, and I did that for him, and Julie came to the rehearsal and was like, okay, you're ready. We should do this. And so I said, okay, fine, I'll sign with you. So I signed with MSA as a choreographer, and they were brand new. It was their first year they were open. And Wade handed me a job. It was my first job of my own, and it was choreographing a promo tour for Christina Milian, who was like a new 15-year-old artist. And I did that, and while I was choreographing that job, I had already been dancing for Britney, and Britney came and watched a rehearsal of mine with Justin Timberlake, who she was dating at the time, and they both loved it, and they both asked me to choreograph for them, so I ended up working with NSYNC and with Britney, and that was sort of the way it all exploded.
There you go. Right place, right time, but you're prepared and ready to go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, many dancers are happy being dancers, and that's fine. Some want to be choreographers, but it seems like you want to be more.
Yeah.
What drives you?
My body hurting. I don't think that that's really what drives me, but that's what is in the back of my mind constantly saying, you know, when you're 50, when you're 60, your body cannot do this anymore. So you've got to have something else to back it up. But it just fell into place naturally, all of the outside endeavors. You know, when I was 16 and I couldn't really work as an adult and I was too tall to work as a kid, that's when I moved back home and I opened up a studio with my mom. Wow. And that taught me a lot about, you know, I was running my dance company there in Arizona, and it taught me a lot about designing costumes and just organizing and being in charge and directing my company. So it was sort of second nature as I started choreographing and also creative directing for these artists. I didn't really realize that's what I was doing, but in essence, the choreographer, unless someone else is brought in as director, you're directing. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of fell into place that was a natural transition to move into director. And then getting behind the camera, it felt right. I had been writing concepts for videos and not even really realizing that I should then be directing my own concept until it clicked when, you know, a video that I wrote for Britney Spears' Toxic started winning all these awards. And I'm like, but I wrote it and I'm not getting any credit. Mm. So an artist came to me and asked me to choreograph a video and write a concept. And I said, well, I'll only do it if I direct it. Thinking there's no way they're going to say yes. And they ended up saying yes. So I got to get behind the camera and that attacked me and I loved it. And the same sort of thing happened for me in producing television. I was lucky enough to be asked to come on season one of So You Think You Can Dance, and I was judging, and it led to another show judging in the UK, which led to a show in the UK asking me to come on as creative director. And that was something I had never done. And after years of doing that, I learned a lot about TV and producing television and worked my way up in the ladder to where I'm at now producing TV. So everything is just, I think, you know, an open door next to the one that you're standing at and just walking through it when the time is right. You know, if I wouldn't have been designing all those costumes when I was 16 at my studio, maybe I wouldn't have had the urge to do my own clothing line and my own shoes. So I think there are so many natural transitions for a dancer that you don't really have to search for them. They kind of just come up. You see what inspires you. You see what draws you to it. And, you know, put a little bit of investigation in it and it could happen.
Totally, totally. You know, let's talk about fashion, because it seems that fashion is something that's very important to you. How did you even come up with the idea to make your own shoe?
It's really funny the way it happened. There's a girl that I used to dance with at my studio in Arizona. Her actually, her younger sister is on tour with Lady Gaga now. Her name's Sloane Taylor Rabinor. This little girl, Sloane, was 2 years old back when we were dancing in the studio. But her older sister, Lauren Beth, danced with me. We competed together. And I had a manager out here in L.A. at the time. And he said, Capizio is looking for a new spokesman. They would love to meet with you. And I believe you danced with the girl who's taking the meeting.
Oh my
So
God.
I took the meeting, had no clue she had moved to New York. She was now working with Capizio. They signed me on to be the face of their new shoe, which was called The Matrix. And I went and I met with them in their home base, not the store, but the actual warehouse, their offices. And they said, you know, how do you like the shoe? And my honest reaction was, you know, I really don't like it.
Wow.
I would much rather, you know, dance in something like I dance in, you know, in my own classes, which at that time was a wrestling boot. I used to wear Puma wrestling boots.
Oh yeah.
And I said, but I hate this boot because it doesn't have a split sole. You know, it doesn't have the support. I can't turn in it. And I said, you know, I would love to create a shoe. And they said, okay, well, you know, let's try it. Let's start designing something. So I designed what I would want, and they did some prototypes, and we ended up inking the deal and putting my first shoe out, which was called the Be Free Elite. And it sold really well. It was out for years, and they went through some restructuring of their company and decided that they weren't going to redo the shoe. They didn't want a quote-unquote hip-hop shoe.
Wow.
Which was fine. It gave me some time off of that to go back to the drawing board and redesign. And I just signed my deal with Discount Dance, and they're going to be doing all my new shoes. So we'll get back into the shoe game. But I always wanted to do clothes when I was with Capizio, and we never could really come together and agree on much.
Yeah.
I have a much more forward-thinking style when it comes to clothes. It's not necessarily just your basic dance wear. So I had to end up doing the clothes on my own, away from them, starting the company. And it's great now because the clothes are done, and to see that Discount Dance is actually buying my full line to carry Wow. in their catalog, which is geared towards dancers, is great because it just shows me that, you know what, after all the adversity, dancers really do want to wear what it was that I wanted to make.
Exactly. It's amazing. I mean, from shoes to clothing, I believe you had a DVD and an app?
Yeah, the app's still not out.
Okay.
The company that I did the app deal with, which we actually shot the full app, all the content's there, the music's there, it's ready. It just, I'm looking for someone to put it out, to do the actual deal to put it out, because the company that I was with went bankrupt.
Oh,
and this is just one of those things, you know, however many years ago it was, 2003, 2004, when I did my shoes, and, you know, we're in 2013, and it's coming back around full swing, and I'm finally getting my clothing line out. Some things take time, and I really do think that it has to be done at the right time. You know, if you push something and throw it out before it's ready to be out, you might not do as well with it. So yeah. The app is ready, and when the world comes together and everything lines up, it will be out. But yeah, my DVD did come out. That was a fun project, being able to sort of do an instructional so that you could get into people's homes and they can learn your choreography. You know, people that normally wouldn't have the ability to see you. You know, there's some countries that I've never taught in, yet they still have that DVD, which they can learn from. So we did something on D Studio, which was a series called Masterclass that Galen Hooks hosted, where we did instructionals. And I thought that was another great way to get out and reach to them. I love any sort of tutorial thing.
Sounds good. You know what? I mean, to be honest with you, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show is because I look at you not only as a person, but you're a brand, you know, you're a corporation. How in the world did this business mindset come into you? Because really, you know, you're taking dance and you've made it into a business.
I have no clue.
Okay.
I mean, it was never intentional. I, like I said, one thing just sort of snowballed into another. Mm-hmm. It started with teaching on conventions.
Well, let me say this. I understand that one thing snowballed into another, but you have enough balls to ask or to say, hey, look, this shoe is not right, and this is the way it needs to be.
I think that is maybe then what it all comes down to is finding your voice.
Yeah.
You know, not being afraid to speak up and say what it is that you want. And I did know once I started choreographing and started doing creative direction work, I knew that what I was best at was guiding and leading.
Okay.
And with that comes all of the other things. You know, it came with putting my DVD together. It came with, okay, well, I want shoes,
yeah.
You know, and if I'm going to have these shoes, I need something to wear them with. So I want clothes. And if I'm going to have clothes, you know, I need to have hats. And I started selling my first stuff just, you know, I would print t-shirts with my name on it when I would go and teach places, and I would print trucker caps with my face on it, and I would have them in a suitcase, and I would sell things out of my suitcase. So it started really easy. It was instinct. And then it was practice. And I think the networking that I said I started doing when I was a little kid, it's something that I will always do. And it's that networking, and it's the constant great relationships that you're making with people when you come into contact with them that will blossom into whatever your next deal is, your next negotiation.
Yeah.
So I truly believe everything goes hand in hand. But I could also just say that I grew up with a father who was a very busy businessman. And I sort of have that – I'm not Jamaican, but I have that Jamaican that Jamaican Jew mentality.
Yeah.
Like, how many jobs can I have at one time? and how much money do I need to retire on? So I heard someone say the other day, you know, why do you work? And they were like, because I have a fear that I'm going to be broke. And that's the exact thing. Like, I just want to be comfortable. And I don't think there ever is comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, once you have something, you want more.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit insatiable.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're getting close to the time here. I have maybe a couple more questions, if that's okay.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Okay. I'm going to actually flip it a little bit and go to dancers, because I know a lot of dancers have questions. And actually, I did do a poll, and I have a couple of questions that I wanted to ask you that come from dancers.
Okay.
Three reasons. What three reasons would there be why you would not hire a dancer?
Reason one, they change the choreography too much in an audition. Reason two, bad energy when they walk in the door, which could include talking. It could include negativity that they're giving off to other dancers in the room, and just proper etiquette when in the room.
That's interesting, because you're saying that basically, even when you're in the room waiting for the dancers to come in, you actually start auditioning them when they are walking in?
I scan them when I pull up in the driveway.
Wow.
You know, when you're in a rehearsal with someone, that's only a portion of it. But being on set with someone is a huge thing. You know, you don't want a dancer who's going to come in and be sitting in front of the client talking loud on their phone, not aware of where they're at. You don't want someone who's going to be chomping on their gum, giving dirty looks to the artist. So I definitely take what happens outside of the dance into account, for sure.
Yeah.
And something on a job that would get you fired is showing up late all the time.
Oh.
So tardiness is a huge thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like when dancers come late to an audition, and I also don't like when dancers ask me if they can leave early.
I can't believe people actually do that.
I'm not here to cater to them at all.
Yeah, yeah, understood. Now, what about dancers that have auditioned for you time and time again, and for some reason they haven't broken through, you haven't hired them yet, for whatever reason, what kind of advice could you give them? Next time that they audition for you, they should?
Well, I think that they need to be able to assess why they aren't getting the casting. They need to look at who books the job and see if it was a type thing. You know, if you're nothing like the type of people that got it, then that means that you weren't right for the project.
Yeah.
And if you were exactly like the people that booked it, then it's got to come down to your dancing.
Yeah.
And you've got to be really honest with yourself. And I think that's something that dancers don't do often enough, is really tell the truth when looking at their abilities. You know, were you better than that person? Were you shining as hard as them? Were you as full out as them? Did you get all the details of the choreography the way that they did? Because if you did, then maybe it's coming down to your look. Yeah. Was your face looking fresh enough? How was your makeup? Did your hair look good? Did you stand out in a crowd? Because the truth is, everyone's good, but you have to be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you're signed with an agent, then you're clearly good enough to be in that room.
Yeah.
But what's going to make you good enough to get the job? And I see tons of people who will come back time and time again for me, yet they're not stepping up to the plate. They don't hit the choreography right. They miss details. They forget when they're standing in front of me. So if you have, and I notoriously have difficult auditions, because I want to know that the dancers can pull it together on set if we have to change everything day of show. Mm-hmm. So I want you to learn tons of choreography. I want to completely mess your mind up, and I want you to reverse it on site. At the X Factor audition this last year, I actually made them reverse the whole combo. So they did it back to back twice in a row, and they didn't have time to go over it.
Wow.
They had to come out and immediately reverse it, and it was a difficult combination. So it's those type of dancers that I will hire. So if you're not at that caliber, then you're not going to get the job. If you are at that caliber and I haven't noticed you yet, make me notice you.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Last question. Okay. So three things, let's say, I don't know if we'll call them categories or behaviors, but for now we'll call them categories. Your look, your ability, or your network. If you had to rank these three as far as importance for dancers, what's the most important and the least important? Your look, your dancing ability, and your network.
I think most important is ability.
Okay.
You know, if you don't have the ability, but you get in there, you can't back it up, they'll find you out. Your fraudulent behavior will be brought to the surface, and you will be let go, and then you will be remembered as that dancer who can't dance.
Oh,
so
my God.
Definitely ability is first. Second is networking. You know, I will remember that girl or that guy that comes up to me and constantly says hello, and this is my dream, and I'm so inspired. And then if they have the talent first and foremost to back it up, and I look at them, I can overlook the fact that they don't have it together yet.
Yeah.
And then it's a fun project for me. It's a makeover project. So I definitely think networking comes up in there. And then look would come third.
Okay.
But for me, you don't necessarily have to network if you have insane ability and insane look. You can come into a room and your ability and your look will speak for itself, and you didn't have to come up and badger me.
Yeah.
However, you know, if you don't have the money to put a great look together, you better be really good at people pleasing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Oh, my God. So many great points in this interview. Thank you so much for taking the time out
and no problem.
Sharing with me. If people want to keep up with you and all your projects, the fashion line, what's going on, where can they find you?
They should definitely follow me on Twitter. I'm very social. And it's my name, at Brian Friedman. And on Instagram is the same, at Brian Friedman. And my website for my clothes, that's where they can keep up with the fashion. That's bsbf.com. And on Instagram, that's at Brian Says Be Free. And the B is just with the letter B of Be Free.
Perfect. Then what I'll do is I'll have links to every single one of those in the show notes. That way people can easily just click the link, boop, and you know they'll be there.
Perfect. And then my YouTube, if they want to keep up with my choreography, my YouTube channel is great because I post every class I ever teach there.
Perfect. Ah, thank you so much, Brian. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Brian. I know I got a lot of things out of it. Hopefully you did as well. Some of the notes that I put down that I noticed during the interview was the fact that fear can be a really good motivator. I mean, Brian's fear of not having enough work and not being busy enough is one of the motivators which allows him to go out there and be a really great entrepreneur. I think another thing that I picked up was the fact that as an entrepreneur, as a dancer, as a choreographer, as a director, we have it within us to think out of the box, to think creatively. And so use that strength, use that skill to think of other things that you can get into, whether it's starting a shoe company, starting a clothing line, coming up with these creative concept videos and finding ways to monetize and sell them. Take the time to think out of the box and not be afraid to go out on a limb. I think one of the things that I learned from Brian during this interview is the fact that there are some certain things that he definitely looks at and that he definitely looks for when he is auditioning dancers. I think even the really interesting point was the fact that even when he's driving up to the actual interview, he's already looking at dancers and scouting you out at that time. So hopefully you guys can implement a lot of the things that he mentioned today. Definitely check out HollywoodDanceCareer.com. I'll definitely have all the notes, all the show notes, and all the links to all the different things that he was talking about during today's interview. That's all the time I have for today. See you guys next Thursday. Until then, take care. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Hollywood Dance Career Show.
It is time to get your dance career on the right track. Sign up to Courtney's VIP list and get all the latest news, tips, and resources direct to your mailbox.
Hollywood Dance Career Show, where the business of dance meets Hollywood. HollywoodDanceCareer.com.